let's go ahead and get this show on the road. We'll call the meeting to order. It's the Community Corrections Partnership meeting. Today is Wednesday, June 10th, 2026, and we'll call the meeting to order at 8:30 a.m. I'll turn it over to Ms. Vaughn for a roll.
Chief Dickinson.
Here.
Court Executive Officer Leal. District Attorney Zimmer.
Kenzel for Zimmer.
Public Defender King.
Here.
Excuse me, Sheriff Youngblood.
Joel Swanson for Sheriff Youngblood.
Director Burroughs.
Here.
Chief Stratton.
Here. Morning. Thank you.
Woo!
Wow.
The hat.
Quite an introduction right there. Yeah. Make me feel good about myself.
Administrator Olvera.
Here.
Director Murillo. Executive Director Corson.
Here.
Supervisor Perez.
Perez for Priscilla Sanchez. Real boss. All of you good. Very good.
Chief Workforce Development Officer Evans.
Candy Getman for him.
Superintendent Mindaburu.
Amanda Thomas for Dr. Mindaburu.
And Victim Services Coordinator Pinkston.
Talamantes for Pinkston.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome, everybody. I was going to officially welcome Chief Stratton, as this is his first meeting, but I think Woo covered it. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a first, Bill, with a Woo.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Thank you for that. All right, we'll go on to the consent agenda. All items listed with the CA are considered to be routine and non-controversial by staff and will be approved by one motion if no member of the board or public wishes to comment or ask questions. If comment or discussion is desired by anyone, the item will be removed and the consent agenda will be considered in the listed sequence with an opportunity for any member of the public to address the board concerning the item before the action is taken. Staff recommendations are shown in caps after each item. For the purposes of this meeting, it is item number CA1, which is the minutes, and item number CA5, which are the third quarter data trackers. So is there any public comment on the consent agenda? Without any member comment, I'll take a motion.
Corson motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second from Supervisor Perez. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Any abstentions? All right, motion carries. It takes us to item number two, public presentations. Public is provided the opportunity to comment on agenda items at the time those agenda items are discussed by the CCP. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the CCP on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the CCP. CCP members may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, and through the CCP, make a referral to staff for factual information or request staff to report back to the CCP at a later meeting. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes, and we ask that you state and spell your name for the record. Are there any members of the public that have anything they would like to address the CCP with that's not already on the agenda? All right, seeing none. Takes us to item number three, my report. I just only have to advise the membership to bring forth any carry forward requests at the September meeting, and information and a reminder will be sent out by my staff at that time. And that's all I have. So we're to item four, open it up to the CCP committee members for any announcements or reports on their own department or agency's activities.
Just want to say, really happy and pleased that Brent Stratton is here.
I'll second that. Thank you, Supervisor Perez. Anyone else have anything to report? Great. Then we'll move to item number six. And with this, it's a request to approve amendments to the CCP policies and procedures to include updates from the Ralph M. Brown Act under Senate Bill 707. For eligible legislative bodies to conduct open meetings beginning July 1, 2026. If you remember at the last meeting, Chief Deputy County Counsel Kathleen Rivera gave us an overview of what those changes would look like verbally, and now those changes have been incorporated in our policies and procedures document that is part of your packet. And so I'll turn it over to Chief Deputy County Counsel Rivera.
Thank you. Yes, good morning. As you will recall, I previously presented on the new changes to the Brown Act, specifically contained at Government Code Sections 54950 through 54963. In essence, eligible bodies are required to make these changes by July, which would be your board would need to make these changes today in order to comply by your next meeting in July. These changes went into effect January 1st, 2026. In essence, this board is an eligible body. Eligible bodies are required to make the meetings more accessible to the public by providing participation from off-site locations by telephone or audiovisual platforms, and provide guidelines for what happens when those platforms or telephone lines are disrupted. So as you can see at page 4 of the bylaws, these changes have been implemented. The red line changes are indicated, and the request is that a recommendation to the executive committee to approve these changes to the bylaws. And I can answer any questions.
And I'll just add that internally, working with my IT team, we have gone over some options for what that will look like when we're back in person in September. And we think we have a pretty clear path forward to make it a nice, easy transition. And we're going to continue to test through the summer to make sure we're all squared away for by the time we meet in September. Any questions from the committee members? Hearing none. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, then I'll entertain a motion to make a recommendation to the executive committee to approve.
Motion.
A motion from Ms. Olvera.
Second, Kinzel.
Second from Kinzel. All in favor can say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, that motion carries. And it takes us to item number 7. Which is a request to amend agreements with community-based organizations. And I will turn that over to Department Analyst Lindy May to talk us through what changes need to be made on those agreements.
Good morning, CCQ members. My name is Lindy May, and I'm a Departmental Analyst with the Kern County Probation Department. On October 1st, 2025, the CCQ approved the Evaluation Committee's recommendation to award 7 community-based organizations funding to provide services on behalb of the county to qualifying AB 109 individuals. The awarded vendors include Bakersfield Recovery Services, the Brown Family Home, Cottage of Hope and Gratitude, Freedom House Recovery Homes, Third Tradition Sober Living, Garden Pathways, and Steps. The agreements with the CEOs were approved by the Board of Supervisors on December 16th, 2025, and were effective as of January 1st of this year. They are set to expire on December 31st, 2028. In February of 2026, the probation department became aware that a clause regarding the requirements for staffing had not been included as a part of the terms and conditions. Probation staff is requesting CCP approval to amend the agreements with the CDOs to modify the terms and conditions to include Section 26, licensing certifications and qualifications. The amendments would apply to all of the awarded vendors. Lastly, Amendment number 1 to the agreement with Bakersfield Recovery Services will correct an error on the number of contracted beds. The correction will be for 24 beds to become 27 beds as awarded by the RFP Evaluation Committee in October of 2025. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. May. And would you just confirm that none of these changes have any fiscal impact at all?
Correct. No fiscal impact.
No fiscal impact. Just cleaning up some language that's required for county contracts, and cleaning up, I think the technical term is a typo, 24-27. Open it up for any member comments or questions for Ms. May.
Will all the vendors be able to meet these requirements?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments from the committee? Open it up to any public comment on this matter. Seeing none, then I'll entertain a motion to make a recommendation to executive committee to approve and submit to the Board of Supervisors for approval.
Of course, we'll make the recommendation for executive committee.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second from Ms. Burrows. And are we good with ayes and nays on this, or should we?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor can say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed can say nay. Any abstentions? All right, motion carries on that. And that takes us on to item number 8, which is the Community-Based Organization Annual Report for calendar year 2025. And with that, we have Lieutenant Jaime Hernandez from the Sheriff's Department to make the presentation.
Good morning, Chair and members of the board. Today I'll be describing a summary report of our community-based organizations, also known as CBOs, for calendar year 2025, ending in December of last year. AB1 Rhine Funds continue to provide housing and supportive services by referring participants to CBOs contracted by Kern County with the approval of the Community Corrections Partnership CCP Board. The CCP maintained 13 contracts. The contracts were the following for the sober living environments: Bakersfield Recovery Services, Cottage of Hope and Gratitude Sober Living, Freedom House Recovery Homes, New Life Recovery and Training Center, the Brown Family, Third Tradition Sober Living. And supportive services included Garden Pathways, One Door Recovery, Special Treatment Education and Prevention Services, and Westgate. An approximate $2.7 million was paid in claim reimbursements to the CBOs for services that were provided. There were 1,060 participants enrolled in the CBO programs. Participants were referred by Kern County Probation Department and the Kern County Sheriff's Office. The housing services, SLEs included 713 participants, which saved the jail $52,782. To expand on that, that's equivalent of an individual being incarcerated for that amount, costing more in our local jail. Participants were authorized for 180 days or 6 months of housing at a contracted SLE. In addition to housing, a variety of supportive services were made available to SLE participants to provide skills needed for successful reentry into the community and to reduce the likelihood of recidivism. Services included in that area: anger management, behavioral health, clothing assistance, work attire referrals, employment services, job search assistance, life skills, Medi-Cal enrollment, parenting and neglect classes, substance abuse classes, transportation, and vocational training. There was also drug testing in those facilities. I do want to point out that last year there was only out of the participants, there was only 11% that tested positive. That's a reduction from the previous year, 2024, that tested 15. So there was a 4% reduction in that area. And there was also breathalyzer tests conducted in the homes. 1% tested positive. That's also a reduction from 2% from the previous year. So they're doing a good job. The SLEs offer a safe, home-like setting where residents receive the support and encouragement necessary to successfully complete the program. Non-residential services. There were 347 participants. Garden Pathways offered services to 125 participants, as they offer a wide variety of services in their contract. The success of supportive services and programs was evident in 2025, with 74% of participants either successfully completing their program or remaining actively engaged throughout the end of the year. The Sheriff's Office and its partner agencies extend their service appreciation to all CBOs for their service to the communities, to the community throughout Kern County. Any questions?
Thank you, Lieutenant. Any questions, comments from the members? Is there any public comment on this matter? Seeing none, and for this item, it's a receive and file. So we will do that, and then we'll move on to item number 9, which is the County of Kern Public Safety Act Implementation Plan and Allocations for Fiscal Year 26-27. So we'll start this discussion, and right back up is Lieutenant Jaime Hernandez to talk about
I was going to stay out, but
the sheriff's area. It's good to, it's good to have a second introduction, so it's no problem.
So Lieutenant Hernandez again, requesting for fiscal year 26-27, the base allocation in the amount of $25,346,557 to maintain current and staffing service levels for the Sheriff's Office. Any questions?
All right. Moving on to probation, and I will call up Division Director Brian Gayona.
Good morning, everybody. It's hard to follow Jaime. That's a good speaker right there. Brian Gayona, AB 109 Director, here for the proposed probation plan fiscal year 26-27 Probation Department. Probation proposes keeping its existing 35.56% of the base allocation. This equates to a total of $22,951,962. This funding allocation will continue AB 109 operations and activities for the probation department. There are no significant changes to the proposed probation plan for this fiscal year, except for the deletion of two vacant deputy probation officer positions. We do have a chart that reflects any questions, but I'll also take any questions if needed.
Any questions for Director Gayona? Hearing none. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. We'll move on to Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. And I think Finance Director Candy Del Rio is going to present.
Good morning. It is my privilege to present from BHRS's AB 109 spending plan for fiscal year 26-27. As noted in our plan, Kern BHRS is expecting $8.7 million of AB 109 funding. $6.7 million of that will support ongoing operations of our Correctional Behavioral Health Team, which operates inside the Laredo facility. Our contract services, budgeted at $1.7 million, will support an AB 109 Assertive Community Treatment Team operated by Telecare. Pharmacy prescriptions for either clients without medical insurance or bridge medications for those clients re-entering the community. And finally, we'll also support some costs at mental health rehabilitation facilities for AB 109 clients only. Kern BHRS has also included $500,000 for administrative costs. This is a total of $8.9 million, which means that our spending plan will be backfilled with the amount, with other funding in the amount of $200,000 approximately. The 26-27 AB 109 spending plan is largely the same, with the biggest change consisting of reductions to our contractors. This meant that we used other funding to pay the contractors, not that the services were reduced. As always, Kern BHRS will continue to support additional outpatient services for AB 109 clients with Medi-Cal, Behavioral Health Services Act funding, realignment, and various grants by operating the Adult Transitional Team, the Mobile Evaluation Co-Response Team, a Sobering Center, and other behavioral health outpatient programs. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
All right, hearing. Thank you, Ms. Del Rio. And that takes us to Employers Training Resource, and we have Assistant Director Jeremy Shoemaker here.
Good morning, Chairmen of the Committee. BHRS requesting same funding, $890,712 for continued services and activities, and also expanding to include additional workshops for offenders and also for CBOs and Department of Agencies to expand referrals and enrollments. Thank you very much. I take any questions.
Hearing no questions for Assistant Director Shoemaker, brings to the District Attorney's Office and Assistant District Attorney Joseph Kinsel.
Thank you. The District Attorney is seeking funding in historic percentages amounting to $2,762,497. Not available for any questions.
All right, hearing none. Move to the Public Defender's Office. We have Public Defender Peter King here.
So AB 109, thank you, Chairman. AB 109 continues to shift the responsibilities back to our communities, so the public defender has to keep stepping up to help impacted indigent clients rebuild their lives. We're asking for the same proportional allocation. Happy to answer any questions.
Right, hearing no questions, we'll move on to street interdiction team, and I believe we have Chief Mario Isit from Ridgecrest Police Department here. Welcome.
Good morning, thanks for having me. We would like to continue the SIT operations that we have for the last several years with a request of funding of $438,901. The program's proven to be effective. Lots of different agencies going out, ensuring compliance with the folks that are associated with AB 109, parole, and other things. It also gives the officers who respond to these operations the opportunity to get to know each other for operations that we do outside of the SIT operations. So it's really a good collaborative effort that does result in positive impacts for the community. So with that, we request that funding to continue for fiscal year 26-27. I'm happy to take any questions if anybody has any.
Okay. Any questions?
Great, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Chief Isit. Thanks for your continued collaboration, appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Items H and I, there'll be no presentation. It's just the usual percentage-based amount for that would go into contingency. And then I would, it's the usual percentage-based amount that would go into the CBO fund. And that takes us to item number J, which is Veteran Services. And I don't know if we have anyone here from Veteran Services. So I'll just say their plan requests funds for continued efforts related to AB 109 population with the fiscal impact noted of $174,270. Are there any further comments from the membership about any of the items discussed? Then I will open it up to any public comment on any of the department's presentations or the budget in general. I'm seeing no public comment. So with that, I would entertain a motion to make allocation recommendations to the executive committee to approve the plan and submit to the Board of Supervisors for approval.
Of course, we'll make that motion to the executive committee.
Motion.
I can second.
Take a second from Ms. Olvera. And with this, we will do a roll call vote.
Chief Dickinson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Leal. District Attorney Zimmer.
Counsel for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender King.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Swanson for Youngblood, yes.
Director Burroughs.
Yes.
Chief Stratton.
Yes.
Administrator Olvera.
Yes.
Director Modio. Executive Director Corson.
Yes.
Supervisor Perez.
Yes.
Chief Workforce Development Officer Evans.
Candy Getman, yes. For Brandon Evans.
Superintendent Mendenburg.
Amanda Thomas for Superintendent Mendenburg, yes.
And Victim Services for Peter Kingston.
Yes.
Okay,
motion carries. Takes us to announcement of the next meeting, which
Chief,
will, yes,
can
sir.
I say something, please?
Yes, sir.
I just
pardon,
wanted
yes,
to thank you so much. Really thank you and your team for all of the collaboration with the 5th District. We've had numerous public events. We had one at Greenfield Park for Mother's Day. It was our second annual. We had over 400 people come. Probation was there. They brought a table. They interacted with the community. They were just so fantastic. Even suggested to the crowd that they could even apply for a probation job. Go and check it out and look online. And I don't know that I've ever heard such a thing in a community event of that nature coming from somebody so prestigious as the probation department. So the intimacy between probation in particular and our community and the events that were hosted is just continues to grow. It's authentic. We really appreciate you. On June 20th, so we do annual Mother's and Father's Day events. So the Movies in the Park was a month ago. It was just a fabulous success. We did Zootopia. It was great. Part two. And so then on the 20th, we'll be doing a very, really big car show at Heritage Park. D5 has put $50 million into Eastside Parks. Thanks to Priscilla and Christian and others just really focusing on highlighting and elevating our public spaces. So on the 20th, we're gonna have a huge community event at Heritage Park where we've put $8 million in. We've constructed an amphitheater there. We've got folks gonna break big bring big shade structures. And of course, Rockamole will be rocking out. And there'll be vendors. And fun, it's a Father's Day event, a car show. And it'll really continue to drive community, drive family, give opportunities to come and be together in a safe and wholesome fashion. And probation has been our number one partner in that. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Perez. Appreciate that. And that's our front yard, Heritage Park. So
right.
glad to help in any way we can. Priscilla can reach out and get it squared away. Thank you for that. All right. And with that, this group will meet again on Wednesday, September 9th at 8:30 in this location, live on camera. So that's nice. We'll adjourn from this group, and it's 8:55 a.m. We'll take a short break and re-adjourn as executive in a couple minutes. All right, let's get going. We'll go ahead and convene as executive committee. It's still June 10th, 2026, and it is now 9 a.m. And I'll hand it over to Ms. Wong for a roll call.
Chief Davidson.
Here.
Court Executive Officer. District Attorney Zimmer.
Kendall for Zimmer.
Public Defender King.
Here.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Swanson for Youngblood.
Director Burroughs.
Here.
And Chief Stratton.
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. Takes us to item number one. Which is the minutes from the executive committee meeting of March 11th, 2026. And I'll take the motion to approve those.
Motion.
I have a motion.
Second, Strap.
I have a motion and a second. And any public comment on this item? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, nay. Any abstentions? Motion carries. All right, takes us to item number two, public presentations. Are there any members of the public that wishes to discuss any item under the purview of the CCP with the executive committee? Seeing none, moves to item number three, executive committee announcements or reports. I'll open it up to the committee for anyone who has any announcements to make. Seeing none, takes us to item number four, which is a recommendation from the CCP to authorize the chair to amend CC policies and procedures as discussed previously. And with that, is there any public comment on this item? None? Then I'll entertain a motion.
Motion, Kenzel.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Second from Burroughs. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, and that motion carries. Takes us to item number five, which is a recommendation from the CCP to authorize the chair to submit to the Board of Supervisors for approval amendments for the agreements with community-based organizations. And I'll open to any public comment on that. Seeing none, entertain a motion.
Motion.
I have a motion from Burroughs.
Second from Swanson.
Second from Swanson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Any abstentions? All right, that motion carries. Which brings us to item number six, which is a recommendation from the full CCP to approve the County of Kern Public Safety Act implementation plan and allocations for fiscal year 26-27, as discussed at the previous meeting. And I'll take any public comment on this. Seeing none, take a motion.
Motion, Kenzel.
Motion. Second.
Second, Stratton.
Second from Stratton, and we'll roll call vote for this one.
Chief Davidson.
Yes.
Court Executive Officer Lee. District Attorney Zimmer.
Kenzel for Zimmer, yes.
Public Defender King.
Yes.
Sheriff Youngblood.
Swanson for Youngblood, yes.
Director Burroughs.
Yes.
And Chief Stratton.
Yes.
Right, and that motion carries. And then I'll announce that our next meeting as executive committee will be September 9th, 2026, immediately following the CCP meeting here at this location. And with that, we will adjourn at 9:03 a.m. Thank you all for your time today. Appreciate it.